In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dearest faithful, I wonder who among us doesn't from time to time have tears that well up, that kind of lump that you get in your throat, and the tears that well up in our eyes when we think about, just in general, the role of mothers. And each of us, regardless of our situation, all of us have come into this world by the love of a mother. And it's not to diminish the work of fathers, but to focus in on just that wordless sense of love and respect that we often have just for the name of mother. And so if we have that much sense of reverence for our mothers, our creaturely mothers, if you will, then it is easy to understand, or at least easier to understand, the hyperdulia, the hyper respect that we have for our beautiful, blessed mother, Mary. And one could preach till tomorrow morning about the nature of the Assumption and all that has been discussed over the years. And some people will say, well, it was only 1950 that it was declared a dogma. How could it have been that important if it took until 1950 before the dogma was declared? And yet in reality, the, if you will, the dormition or the falling asleep, the transition from this life to the next of our Blessed Mother has been discussed from the earliest times. The dormition is a term used in the Eastern Church. And of course, then the movement of Our Lady from this life to the next. And of course, from the earliest times, it was clear that Our Lady could not travel by ordinary means, if we're speaking of extraordinary things about dying and going to heaven, but by our means, there must have been a means that was set aside just for Our Lady. And if we were to ask the principal question, what was the motivating factor for, if you will, the divine decision that Our Lady should enter heaven body and soul in the fullness of her Assumption that we celebrate? What was that all about? What caused that? And there is only one word that comes to mind, and that is the love. The love not only that the Son had for His Mother, but that the love that God the Father had for the perfect tabernacle that He knew from the very beginning would put flesh on the Word of God. And the love for Mary transcended even before her Immaculate Conception, because she was conceived in the mind of God before she was physically conceived in the womb of her mother, and she was conceived in love. And so if throughout the process, if you will, of Our Lady's service, and we use that word very carefully, because as she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord, be it done unto me according to your word, I am your servant, your Ancilla, your servant. And so when we use the word service, we use it in a very holy tense, because that is not only the way that it was perceived, but also the way that it was given by Our Lady. And so if the whole of her service to the Lord, if you will, was a service of love, then could it have been any different that at the end of her earthly life, that all of a sudden that sense of loving service, that sense of the love of God, not only the love of God around her, but the love of God within her, should that have been any different? Should the intensity of the divine love for the Blessed Mother have been any different or diminished in any way at the time when it was decided that she would move from this world to the next reality? And even the earliest church fathers have said no, that the love for the Blessed Mother had to be consistent throughout. And not only it could not never diminish, but it also couldn't at some point change in such a way that all of a sudden she would take on mere humanity. And to take on mere humanity would mean that she, using the term from the olden days, if you will, that there was no way that the Blessed Mother would just mold her in the grave, that the divine love for her would allow that her precious body, which again, the tabernacle for the Lord, that which put flesh on the Word, that should undergo sinful decay. And Our Lady, being sinless, conceived immaculately, she was returned, or at least delivered, in the same sort of, if you will, human perfection that was originally conceived for our first parents, until, of course, the fall. And so her status then is pre-fall. It is pre, if you will, it was in the mind of originally conceived for humanity. And that original conception for humanity is that by some way or another, in the absence of sin, that we should not die. That there would be some sort of immortality, if you will, that there would be no physical death in that state. Our Lady, being sinless and being surrounded both within and without by the love of God, then it seems then improbable, if not impossible, that she would ever be allowed to experience physical death, in that physical death was a result of sin for which she had no knowledge and was sinless. Pope Benedict of happy memory loved Our Lady dearly, and he spoke frequently about her assumption. And he spoke even going all the way back to Augustine, who Augustine also was so aware of the love. And he said that we should understand that the love, the divine love that Mary experienced, again, was not just supporting her around her, but truly indwelled her, that the love of God was fully present to her in every aspect of her reality, and that she would have been supported by that love in this life and also in the next. And yet then the most amazing part is that what was given to our beautiful Blessed Mother, what was given to her, that she then should pave a way then to cross the threshold into the heavenly realm, to have the beatific vision, and to remain there fully alive. But that we, even though we will undergo a physical death as the result of the fall and the result of our sinful nature, that physical death will be ours, and yet our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in his love for us, defeated death that we might have life, and that we might have life in abundance and life everlasting, which then means that we have the opportunity not only to follow the same path as our Blessed Mother, but we have the possibility, dearest faithful, to not only have the beatific vision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, which I'm certain will be beyond our imagining, but our Mother will be there too. She will be there just as she loves us now, prays for us now, intercedes for us now, and we get that lump in the throat when we think about her love for us. Can you even begin to imagine what it will be like to see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face and then look beyond him and see her. See Our Lady looking at us in her motherly way. I have waited for you. I have prayed for you. I have prayed for this day. And now you are here. A mother's love. The love of God transcends all things, but the love of God also penetrates the heart and souls of mothers to then manifest a love that transcends words, transcends all understanding. And this day, our Blessed Mother, and we ask her, Mary Most Holy, help us to truly one day say the very same thing. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. Do with me what you will. But more than anything, let me come to you. Let me live with you forever. Let me see you. And let me be with my mother, our mother, forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.